This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Hey, y'all, it's Chip Patterson from the Cover 3 Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. College football is about to enter its first ever 12-team playoff era, so join me, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott, as we drop new episodes five times a week to close out the year. We've got reactions, bracket breakdowns, and best bets for these matchups with championship stakes. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We've got 2 weeks until Christmas Eve.
I think the countdowns, Snedeker was doing that. He keeps doing that. Now doing it. And Johnny Lucas has been doing that since February.
Like,
and I'm thinking, of all the days out there, we really don't need to do this one. It's everywhere.
Oh, it is.
Have you noticed?
Flying up to us because Thanksgiving was so short ago.
Just a shopping tip. I don't know if you're still doing shopping. I don't know if you shop on Amazon. To quote my wife, which is probably what you would say too. What happened to two-day shipping?
I know.
Sunday, I went on Amazon to look for something non-Christmas related. And so that was the 8th. And it said the earliest delivery I could get as a Prime member, the 16th.
Mm.
That's a week.
Well, some of them will come faster than others.
They might, but they're not promising it.
Yeah, the two-day thing is not the norm anymore.
What's
it's
happening
really
over
wild.
There?
I know in some areas, when I was ordering for my mother-in-law something she needed, not for Christmas, but just recently, she's near Harrisburg. So, and they'd
service.
Say like, it was like a $10 item, add $15 more and you can have like next day service.
Really?
So yeah, which is, I'm like, we can't even get 2 day, but now even for a Prime member to get next day, which used to be pretty much something you could do. Now you have to have a $25 minimum, and that's with Prime.
Yeah,
but that's
is.
For next day, not the 2 day that it used to be.
When I was on the West Coast, it got to the point where it was almost uncomfortable how fast things shut up. Mm-hmm. Like, I guess the bigger the population, the more they care.
Right.
But it would just be like, I have a headache. And they'd be like, were you going to order some Tylenol? I was. We're here with it. It was fast.
We got it for you.
And recently I just saw, and there's only two cities in the entire country, but they offer, you can click drone delivery as an option.
Oh, I know.
That's going to be, it's like, hi, my delivery hit my tree. That's what it's going to
could happen.
Going to happen. I didn't mean to shake the whole room up with that. This place is so.
You just did it again.
I know I did. This is
just
so.
Just keep your hands off the counter.
It's fragile in here.
It is.
Anyway,
so the 2 day thing is a thing of the past.
This is a little shopping tip. I hate for anyone to be like, I have 10 days to Christmas. And they're like, sorry, we're booked.
Yeah, we're getting to that time now where it's going to be iffy if you didn't get it ordered by now. So you might actually have to get off your butt and go into a local place, which would be a nice thing anyway. Just a reminder, of course, you all know Penn State has made it to the championship, playoffs. And they're going to be taking on SMU, and that's on Saturday, December the 21st. It's a whiteout game they're calling for.
That's nice. And it's also at noon, I think.
Yes.
Which is great if you don't like staying up late for football. Yeah. I fell asleep during the Big Ten championship.
Well, what the heck?
I was trying so hard. And at one point I woke up. I said this yesterday. I'm like, I thought it was a 20-point blowout.
Mm-hmm.
But it was much closer than
I was
dreaming, I guess.
It was. They had a lot of issues to start. And they always said they didn't do so bad in the first half because, the second half, they usually pick it up.
Oregon's just really good.
They are. I mean, I think that was a winnable game, but.
Well, yeah.
I think, did they not have like a ton of penalties early on?
There were a lot of penalties.
A lot of penalties that really hurt.
There were some questionable things where it's like, how come you keep noticing us? They're the ones in the bright green uniforms.
Right.
Is that why you're calling it on us?
There were a number of things they were not calling on Oregon. I'm not going to say that was the reason why they lost. It was just, it looked like a little bit heavy on one side as opposed to the other. Anyway, we will have that game for you here on WILK. Maybe if you're lucky enough to go down there and watch. It's always fun too.
Yeah, that would be
a good day. Hopefully they and you know their schedule actually, and there's been talk of this as well. For being in sixth place, they seem to have an easier road to go to get to the championship than some of the other teams higher placed.
It is very weird. The winner of the game plays Boise State. I don't know where you stand on it. I went on a very unexpected, even to me, rant about how much I don't want to go play at Boise State because I hate that blue field.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of,
I didn't have any.
The weird scenario I created in my head is they went in and said, this turf is too expensive. We can't afford it. We're Boise State. They go, well, we have this blue if you want to try it.
It's on sale.
It's on sale. So yeah, you buy 1 foot, get 10,000 feet free. And they're like, we'll do it. It's so ugly. I don't think I've ever watched a full football game.
The point I was trying to get to was not how ugly it is. The point was the path to get there. Yeah.
Oh, well, the path is fine. You just have to go through Boise. Gross field.
Well, I'm just saying that, you know, there have been some to say, look, it looks like Penn State got like a golden kind of road. Like an easier road to get to the, you know, towards the end than some of the other teams. But anyway, we shall see.
I hope that's the case. I hope we look back and go, you know, that was great.
It would be nice.
I would hate to have a bump in the road.
Obviously, there's been that breaking news yesterday of the arrest and now charged with murder. Luigi Mangione has been charged with murder. First, he was taken in on gun charges. But he was spotted in Altoona, Pennsylvania at a McDonald's.
Yeah.
And what's so surprising about this, and there's a number of things that are surprising. We know that this is a very intelligent person, Ivy League educated. From what I also read, he was valedictorian at his very pricey private school. So someone with a lot of intelligence, someone with a lot of money.
A lot of charisma, too. He was very well liked, very well spoken.
But hey, how is it that it takes a customer and worker at McDonald's to know who it is and not someone who was well-liked, well-known, connected?
That's a great question.
Unless these people said, well, you know, he looks a lot like Luigi, but Luigi would never do this. Because is it his cousin who's some politico?
State representative in Maryland.
It's not a representative. It's some kind of a delegate, I think it might be. Anyway, someone who's well-connected and known. The only thing I could think is, how is it that some stranger who saw the picture calls the cops, as opposed to all the people who've either known him through many different Ivy League school, through high school, through connections with people. It's not a face you're going to forget. The only thing I could think is that people went, yeah, it looks like him, but they thought he'd never do that because this is truly the kind of story where you get people who say, we're shocked.
The people who knew him are reacting kind of almost like when I was joking. A lot of people were joking. It looks like Jake Gyllenhaal, the actor. Yeah, but we knew it wasn't Jake Gyllenhaal. People were like, that looks a lot like Luigi, but it would never be Luigi.
Well, that's the only thing I wonder is, how could you not, if you've known him, go, oh my gosh, that's him, when strangers would even be able to see him eating at a McDonald's? And he had a mask on, by the way.
I was going to say, like, if you look at what he had when they caught him in the McDonald's, it didn't look like he was necessarily trying to hide who he was.
He had a mask on.
He still had the mask on, but that's exactly what people saw from the pictures. So he matched the description in most of the pictures. He had a manifesto. Like
he had the backpack with him.
He had the gun. He had the manifesto.
Well, I mean, for the person who sees him, they don't see that.
They see
a guy eating, they said, with a backpack near him. He was on a laptop, but they did say he was acting suspiciously, whatever that may be. I don't know if it's suspicious anymore to eat at a McDonald's because most people take their food indoors.
This is weird.
I don't know.
Maybe that's it.
Anyway, he's 26 years old. There's a profile of him in social media where a part of the photos is a photo of an X-ray, and it looks like of either the back or the neck area with pins or something in it. There's no explanation as that someone else had said that he had been upset about the health care
of a family member first.
And somebody was talking about something that had to do with chronic pain. Was it him? Was it somebody else? That's what we wait to hear. Like, what is the... We know it sounds like he was very unhappy with the healthcare industry as a whole, and took it out on this UnitedHealthcare CEO.
I heard a couple interviews with people who knew him. His former roommate referenced a surfing accident because he had been spending time in Hawaii and then having surgery on his back and being in a lot of pain. So it sounds like it's, you know, we're going to find out as we go along. To go back to what I was saying before, I didn't think he walked into the McDonald's wielding a gun with his manifesto. But when he got arrested, he had everything they needed to identify. Almost like he wasn't going to hide who he was. He didn't have it stashed away somewhere. He was just walking through town. If you catch me, here's what you need to know about me. You got the right guy. Really wild, too.
I don't know, if he thought that he would get away with it, did he think that there would be others? Was he plotting any other action? Because they said once they approached him and they asked if he had been in New York, he started to shake.
Yeah.
That's what they say in the news. But he has been charged now. And I guess a lot of people have a lot of questions, of course, about... I think we have an idea of him and his thoughts on, I guess, corporations, not just healthcare. He's kind of railed against, you know, greed in corporations. But the UnitedHealthcare CEO who was gunned down and killed by him, from what I understood, was that yesterday was the day that they had the funeral, like the same day as they're making the arrest. There have been, this is such a weird and disturbing part of this is that now the reviews for that Altoona McDonald's being flooded by people who are giving them horrible reviews because we heard there's a rat in the restaurant. People who are unhappy because somebody there saw somebody wanted for a murder and reported it. So there's this whole anti-hero kind of nonsense going on here where people are celebrating someone who would viciously gun someone down because, I understand the sentiment of we need to do something about health care in this country. I don't understand and will never understand violence as an answer.
No.
And it's horrible. It's just a horrible situation.
By the way, I just pulled up Yelp. I was looking at McDonald's reviews. It looks like they're doing it to all of them. McDonald's, two stars. Oh, wait a second. Is that just how people are reviewing fast food? They're picky. That's interesting to hear that people are stepping up and doing weird things like that. I don't understand. I'm with you. Like, I don't understand why people are lashing out. There's been a movement on X, Twitter. Free him. Yeah, that's going to happen.
No. And look at this. This is the lawlessness that really seems crazy to be going on. There are people who now celebrate bad people because, again, they think the ends justify the means. And it's disturbing where we're at in this country.
I went on this rant about the Boise Field, and I know you were just like, it's not, why is that important? To me, it felt important. Yesterday, I heard the winner of this Penn State SMU game plays Boise in the Fiesta Bowl. Didn't even connect the dots. It won't even be at Boise. It'll be at a totally different field.
Uh-huh.
Thank you for that text. That's the best text I've heard all day. Now we just got to win.
Yeah. All right, let's talk a little bit about Rupert Murdoch, the Fox News empire. A probate commissioner has ruled against him. He's been trying to change his family's trust because he wants to give one of his sons control of his media empire. And that would ensure Fox News, the conservative editorial slant that it has. This is all according to a sealed document obtained by the New York Times. So in the decision, which was filed over the weekend, a probate commissioner concluded that Murdoch, who is 93, and his son Lachlan Murdoch have acted in bad faith in the endeavor to amend the irrevocable trust. It divides control of the company equally among four of the kids. There's Prudence, Elizabeth, Lachlan, and James after he dies. Lachlan has been the head of Fox News and News Corp since late last year when his father stepped down. The elder Murdoch argues to preserve his business's commercial value for all his heirs. The trust must be changed to allow Lachlan to maintain Fox News' conservative bent. James and Elizabeth Murdoch, both known to have less conservative political views than their father or brother, and that complicates efforts to ensure that the company would remain conservative. So again, this is something you put together. It's called Irrevocable, and then you try to change it. This is so much like that TV show, Succession, right?
Yeah, people say it's very much like that.
Modeled after it.
Yeah.
So basically, it's a 96-page opinion that this probate commissioner characterizes the plan to change the trust as a carefully crafted charade to permanently cement Lachlan Murdoch's executive roles inside the empire, regardless of the impacts such control would have over the companies or the beneficiaries of the family trust. So they are disappointed, Rupert and Lachlan, with the ruling, and they are trying to appeal. A spokesperson for Prudence Elizabeth and James said they welcome the ruling and hope their family can be moved beyond this litigation. They would like to rebuild relationships among all the family members. So,
I mean, I get what they're trying to do. It's like, wait,
seems really
a second.
Crappy, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, if that was what you were promised,
you should have done that from the beginning. You don't put it all together and then go, wait a minute, you people aren't turning out the way I want you, right?
I think that happens a lot in just life. This is just a very public fight, but there's a lot of people who are like, I should have done this, but now it's too late. I should have made this change, but now it's too late.
Right.
And now in this situation, I get what he wants. Like, I built something big and they might destroy it. And that's kind of what happens.
Do you not care more about your family? Do you not care about your people? Do you not care about the people that you've raised? It's such
probably,
a control thing to be like, I want you to be this way or I'm cutting you out. And that's just sad. In the end, it's so sad because who's going to be there at the end? Like, Fox News isn't going to be standing by your side when you're saying goodbye to the world.
Financially, I think they're going to be fine no matter what.
Well,
which
of
course
they are.
So, but if it's just about the business, and they maybe he expected them just to will it.
Should have figured that out then if you were that concerned. It just seems really ugly and awful to for your family to go, hey, I changed my mind now because you're not going to do what I want you to do. It's such a control move. It's sad.
How do you think he got there? I mean, that's probably, you know, successful people.
He was stupid then to make a decision and then go, oh, wait, I'm going to change my mind now. Anyway, good luck with that, but that's sad. It's so sad.
Didn't change that agreement, but he changed wives many times.
Merriam-Webster named polarization the 2024 word of the year. I guess its prominence in describing the political landscape of the 2024 presidential election.
Do you like that choice?
I don't guess if you're going to have a word of the year. I don't know if that really encapsulates it, because to me, we could use that word for politics for the last 15 years.
Yeah. It sounds like you're indifferent to that word.
I
hate it. Seems trying to be polarizing. That seems like the only. Yeah, it seems pretty predictable for them to go with that word.
Right.
I tend to like it when they bring up a word that's something that like is trendy and new. So I'm with you on that.
Yeah.
It seems like I'm sorry, Merriam or Webster, whichever one you. Webster's retired.
Yeah. They also said the word totality was popular in April because of the total eclipse of the sun.
Oh, yeah.
So that was one. Demure surged in use in August, with TikTok influencer creating a line of makeup videos using the phrase very demure, very mindful.
Brought it back.
Yeah, whatever. God. Fortnite, that word because of singing superstar Taylor Swift's song with Post Malone. So Fortnite means a period of 14 days.
Oh, I thought you were talking about that video game kids play, Fortnite.
Yeah, right. No, this was a song.
All right.
The word pander became popular among news organizations and political groups in describing opponents on the campaign trail, trying to connect to different constituents. Other words that became popular in 2024, resonate.
Yeah.
Allison.
Didn't like her.
I don't know what that is. Why is that a word? Weird. Remember when the beginning of the Democrats, you know, Kamala Harris and Tim Walz, they like to talk about J.D. Vance and Trump as weird. Cognitive and democracy.
Wow.
Other words that became popular. I wonder why Allison was in there.
It's multiple meanings.
I didn't know if there was something in you know.
No, I can't seem to find
in culture or something. No. Okay, now.
I'm stunned that after the election, 50% of the country didn't say, I think the word just should be the F word. Half the country. The rest would be something like
polarization.
Jubilation. I don't know.
Polarization. I guess, is what they say.
I guess, yeah, that would work. That would work as well. Now it all makes sense.
Yeah. I don't know. I think hate would be more of a encapsulation, because not only do we see a lot of really strong opinions about things, we see it like a real hatred that people have for things that in the past you might have just said, nah, I don't like that so much. Now it's like, I hate Travis Kelce. Okay, that's an example. Or you'll see someone will say, I hate such and such, or I hate this person. And again, it's not for the very top office, unheard of. It's been like that. There's this love-hate kind of thing that happens. But when it trickles down into, you know, other people, where it's like teams, you love them or you hate them. There's like this just need to just decimate. It can't just be I dislike, right? It has to be hate. And that's sad.
Yeah, I'm still wishy-washy on a lot. And that's, I think there is something to that. People are just very kind of angry about a lot. And it's weird. Things that used to just be like, oh, that he or she's kind of opinionated. Now it's they're a hate spreading monster. Okay. It's like, whoa, hang on a second. But they just disagree.
Labeling someone as evil because they disagree with you. Evil. As if you're like out to do some like horrible thing to people. It's sad. So I would think that would be more of a word than polarization. We've had polarization forever. Now we're at these extremes. And I don't see it getting any better. You know how much money the average person will spend holiday season? I want you to guess.
Is it going to make me want to throw up? I bet it does. I'm going to say.
I don't know. Johnny L., you got to come up with a number, too.
Okay, so.
You're going to guess how much you think the average American will spend this holiday season.
You're probably going to say just pick a number, but does it give anything like on a family or just in general per person? Does it have any clarification?
It's just how much money you're going to spend on the holidays. It doesn't mean like, just gifts, like what you're going to spend, whatever you may be doing the holidays.
I'm going with a pretty simple guess.
Okay. You also want him to go first?
I do want him to go first.
Okay, Johnny L., what do you think?
Now, is this me, how much I'm going to spend?
No, what is the average American spend?
You're above average.
Let's see. I'd say $250.
I'm going to go with a much bigger number, which I think is still probably going to be too low, I hope.
What?
I hope not.
$2,000.
I hate people.
$2,000.
Oh, come on. That's ridiculous.
The average American will spend more than $2,000 this season. How you break it down, folks, the most expensive category, transportation for people who are traveling, spending $846 on average. So you think maybe you're going to a hotel, maybe you're getting on a plane. Anyway, that's the most expensive category, transportation.
So this really is one person, because the travels has gone up so much. I used to have to do that. I hated it.
$658 for those, the most expensive ticket called Putting on the Holidays. So that includes like holiday food, refreshments, throwing parties, holiday clothing and outfits are also in there as well. The gifts category, next on the list. On average, Americans spend $560 on their loved ones. The most money spent on kids, $117?
A kid?
That seems pretty low.
Well, the kids have luxury.
Partners.
The kids are lucky. They have Santa to compensate the rest.
This is right. Yeah. Partners, people spend about $92. Remember, this is on average. So someone else may spend, $300 and another one spend $50.
Yeah.
But this was a survey of 2,000 people. The majority say that this has been a tough year. It's one of the financially challenging years. And more than 4 in 10 Americans say they are going lean this holiday season, spending less than compared to years past.
When you say going lean, all I immediately thought about was Tiny Tim.
Oh, God. Can I have some more?
Like, I don't think that's even the right character. That was Oliver, I think. But the, just I imagine that, like, we're going lean this year. Thanks, Mr. Scrooge.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like, you know, my number, I don't think we're spending that much. But then again, my wife's doing the shopping and I'm just looking the other way and hoping. Like, it's almost like I feel like this is probably what it's like to be in a war zone where I know something bad's happening around me. I just don't want to look.
Yeah.
Wow. I'm just going
to
wait.
And again, these are average amounts, and it depends on how many family members you have to purchase for as well. And some families. So I don't know how some people do it. Mm-hmm. I know people who buy for every sibling, every niece, every nephew, every uncle and aunt. I mean, it gets crazy. Like, myself and my sisters have decided that we just take care of the kids, you know, the nephews and the nieces.
Yeah.
And so that's what we do there, because I would think some of you would go broke.
Well, yeah, if you have a big family party, my aunt, I love a Jewish family, they just get together for a big Christmas party day after Christmas every year. And up until like 2 years ago, there would be 20 kids there traveling in from around the country, little ones. And everyone was getting gifts for everyone. And then finally, I guess someone was like, I can't do this anymore.
I know,
and then it
crazy.
Turned into like a grab bag thing. And the kids, guess what? The kids were fine with it.
I wouldn't even know what to get people after a certain point. You know, I love those grab bag gift games where you can take a gift and then you can steal someone else's. I've seen those. Don't do that with really young children.
I was going to say, yeah, kids don't do well with any of that.
I've done it with adults and it doesn't always go well. So
with the little ones, you need like little descriptors. Like, so what are they into? You go, he likes science and dinosaurs and she likes coloring and art. And it's like, okay.
Those can be fun. And that way it's a fun way to do it. Nobody has to spend a ton of money. But yeah, if you have to buy for all these people in your family, it would be a bit much. You would go broke after a certain period of time. How much are you folks spending? Taylor Swift, I guess her Eras tour has ended.
We talked about this yesterday.
My daughter doesn't know that. She made so much money, grossed more than $2 billion in its 21-month, 149-show run. And it turns out, it looks like she gave out $197 million in bonuses to the tour's cast and crew.
Which is kind of awesome. I saw a story on this.
Kind of, or is it?
Well, there's a lot of people who work on her tour, but if you think about that, she gets all the publicity and they make it all work behind the scenes. And those people, I think she, wouldn't I understand, she pays them well to begin with.
Yeah.
But the fact that they're pretty much on the road for, you know,
all that time.
2 years. If she goes into a city, she's not there for all the setup. They're there.
Right. So. She can leave and go watch a Kansas City game and then come back. Not that they're held hostage, but
I'd love to come with you, Taylor. But, you know, the lighting rigs.
Yeah.
Got to do that.
The musicians, the dancers who shared the stage with her, the truck drivers, caterers, instrument techs, merchandise team, lighting, sounding, and production staff, carpenters, security, choreographers, pyrotechnics, hair and makeup stylists, wardrobe, physical therapist, and a video team. That's a lot of people. It costs a lot of money to go to that show. You know, and there have been people who have complained about that. Let's just say, though, that at least she gave you, what was it, almost 3 hours of a show when she do it?
Oh my God. It's nuts. And there are some people, I almost wonder sometimes if there's going to be a category of people who are like, it wasn't, you know, the cost of gas or food. It was, I saw Taylor Swift 3 times during that tour. I know a couple people who've gone multiple times.
Sure.
And I know half of those people probably can't afford to do it.
It's crazy.
But they're just like, you only live once.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you only pay debt forever.
God. Penn State is playing in the championship playoff for the NCAA. They are going to be taking on SMU. And that game is at Beaver Stadium. And it's going to be a whiteout. This is on December the 21st. It's a noon game. You can, of course, hear it here on WILK. Also, TNT, I guess, is the one who is providing it. And they said that even though it's on TNT, ESPN handles the, I guess,
the
commentary
coverage
and coverage and stuff like that. So it'll be on TNT, but ESPN.
That's weird because they're different companies.
I know, it is wild. And as we said, of course, a lot of people like to, if they're going to watch the game, also listen to it with the Penn State announcers. Because
that's
like
what I would do.
Yeah, it's always good. So we will have that for you that Saturday And noon is the kickoff again, 10:30, the pregame here on WILK. That's exciting stuff. It was a close game. Drew Aller had to be perfect to win that game, and it just came up short. And look, they had a bunch of costly penalties early on that kind of put them behind there. So,
yeah. It was essentially felt like a home game. With spatterings of green.
Right. It was, I mean, let's be honest. They could have won that game.
Oh,
they
absolutely.
Could have. Yeah, they could have. I mean, Oregon is a tremendous game. The teams, you can't take any of that away from them. But hey, Penn State, it, you know, just had to do a little bit more and couldn't do it. But still, a good showing ending up with the sixth ranking. I guess the controversy when you looked at the games coming out was the fact that Alabama was left out of the championship picture, you know, the playoff bracket.
Yeah.
And you know, some people have been critical of the fact that, and it's not so much that it's Penn State, but the path that Penn State has, not as difficult as some of the ones that ranked higher have now.
I'm excited. I played this yesterday. Did you hear? I think it's hilarious because I can't tell if it was just purely accidental or if this was a troll completely.
Okay.
The James Franklin press conference after the game. I don't know if you caught this. And make sure I don't have Facebook open because that can cause problems with this. All right, here we go. James Franklin's getting ready to do the post game press conference, and then this happens.
That would be great. We can start right here.
The Oregon
front
band
row.
Kicks in right outside the room.
How is this a smart setup?
Yeah. This is for Drew.
Wait.
We can hang tight for just a second. We'll try to get that audio turned down next door.
It's absurd. He's just like
sitting. So what?
Like,
the band was like right next door.
Yeah, I think he gets angry.
I got no issue with them celebrating, but this is kind of a JV setup.
Oh, come on.
I took offense to that as someone who was a clear first, freshman year, I was already cracking JV.
Yeah.
Decided to stay my whole time.
Jeez.
No, I can't tell if that was like the band was really, it probably was just a coincidence that they were there
and didn't realize it.
But
like,
Drew Aller's face, though, during that was like, he wasn't mad. He was kind of giggling as if like, that was good. They got us good. Like almost like he appreciated the effort if it was put into it. But either way.
That they'll, with that, you know, losing by just that one possible possession. I mean, remember, it was one, including a 2-point conversion, which is never easy, especially against Oregon. But you know, they'll be hungry to play. And I'm sure Drew Aller, you know, takes a lot of that on himself. I think it was 2 interceptions he threw.
Yeah.
So that's tough. Very tough.
My wife was furious yesterday. Because the tight end guy, Tyler Warren, isn't invited as a finalist for the Heisman Trophy.
Oh.
And his stats are phenomenal.
Yeah,
and
they are.
My wife is sitting there lecturing me on why this is such an outrageously bad decision.
Sure.
And I Googled, I'm like, has a tight end ever won? And I said, to be fair, a tight end hasn't won the Heisman since 1949. She goes, that's irrelevant. He's like, I can't fight with you. Stop mansplaining football to me.
Oh, God.
Yeah, he had such a great season.
Yeah,
if anyone did deserve it, it would have been him. But you won't believe it. A lot of quarterbacks and running backs.
Yeah, you know.
Wild and unpredictable.
That happens. So. All right. Let's talk a little bit about the arrest yesterday. Luigi Mangione, 26-year-old Ivy League graduate, charged with murder in the killing of UnitedHealthcare CEO Brian Thompson. He has a big trail online. Okay, first of all, from what we understand, he also had a whole bunch of incriminating things on his person when police went to the McDonald's in Altoona yesterday to check into a report of someone who matched his description. I'm still blown away by the fact that this is not a forgettable face. Okay, this is someone who was well known, well liked, it seems. He was the valedictorian at his very costly private school. As we said, Ivy League graduate, big online presence. And the person who turned him in was someone from a McDonald's who we understand. A couple of reports are saying a customer alerted the employee. Who is going to get the $50,000? That should be an interesting little.
Who will have the happiest of meals?
Oh,
which one?
Boy.
I saw this. One thing I do want to clear up there. After a McDonald's employee reported them, this thing went viral where Burger King put out a tweet saying, "We don't snitch." People are sharing it everywhere. It's 100% fake. Funny.
It's very much. It's totally fake. I don't even think it's funny.
Yeah, it's
stupid.
Considering some of the nasty stuff that's out there, I think it's kind of funny.
No, but I mean, to even think that it's not funny to think about someone calling someone a snitch who's getting a dangerous person off the street. I mean, you can have your criticisms of the healthcare industry.
Sure, absolutely.
And not want to kill somebody for it. But anyway, so it turns out, this person in Altoona at a McDonald's notices this person who looks very much like, and I guess he was wearing a mask. Police said he had a mask when they arrived. He was eating food at a table. He had a backpack or some kind of a pack with him, and it had weapons in it. We're hearing there could be like a 2-page manifesto. I only say 2-page because some people think manifesto means, you know, 20 pages. What we're hearing is a lot of information. So you got to imagine that they're holding back probably a lot more incriminating stuff. But it's shocking to me that someone with his intellect and well known to people had to have a stranger turn them in. I'm guessing some people who thought, hey, that looks like Luigi, he'd never do this.
Yeah, I mean,
because you wouldn't ever think. I wasn't thinking this was a valedictorian Ivy League graduate. Just wasn't. That's a bad assumption to make, because we've heard of other people who have done bad things who are not stupid.
Yeah.
But the question is, obviously, he had an issue with corporations, with healthcare system. And there's a picture of an X-ray, and it's his either of the back or the neck with pins in it. We don't know who is this. There's no descriptor as to, was this himself? Was this somebody else? He lived in Hawaii. You mentioned something. He might have had a surfing accident.
Some sort of accident. Said. I thought they said surfing, and but the timeline almost doesn't add up. It seems like it would have had to happen a long time ago. I haven't heard the timeline, but they made it seem like it just recently had happened. He had back issues. This whole thing is just, it's crazy to think about.
There's other stuff here. I don't know if you saw this.
What else is there
he has reviewed Ted Kaczynski's Industrial Society and Its Future book, also known as the Unabomber Manifesto. So in early 2024, he reviewed it, gave it 4 out of 5 stars. Here's what he wrote. He was a violent individual, rightfully imprisoned, who maimed innocent people. While these actions tend to be more characterized as those of a crazy Luddite, however, they are more accurately seen as those of an extreme political revolutionary. So, you know, he's saying he should be in jail. Does he think he should be in jail?
But I believe you have more there from him in that.
Well,
I think
he quoted, "Violence never solved anything," as a statement uttered by cowards and predators.
But he said something at the end like, "But I understand it." Like, I understand or something. He kind of said, "I get it." But I think we've all said something like that. I can understand why someone would be so mad at the healthcare industry. But it's the same reason. When you get cut off, you don't go and murder someone. We have something that says don't do that.
Right.
You know, he obviously got lost in something, and we'll find out. So much is going to come out over the next few days. To what you said earlier, and we talked about it last hour, about people seeing his picture and going, that looks just like Luigi, but it wouldn't be him. We'll find out pretty quickly if his friends and family were texting each other and calling each other, because they'll come out. I don't think there's a crime in that unless they were like, that's Luigi. Nobody tell. That would be different.
Well, that would be a whole different thing.
But
entirely.
I hope that's not the case. I think you said his face is very recognizable, and I would agree, except until I saw his eyebrows. His eyebrows are the most recognizable part of him, and I didn't see those until he got arrested. Mm-hmm.
So we were talking about the arrest of this suspect in the murder of the CEO of United Healthcare. Negative online reviews for McDonald's restaurants
so
in Altoona, PA, started piling up after an employee called police, leading to that arrest. There were 5 different McDonald's locations listed in Altoona on the Yelp website One that usually gets a review every month or two got 100 one-star reviews, the lowest ranking possible, with outlandish stories or jokes with political commentary about the killing.
I'd like to believe these are mostly people goofing on it than really think they're going to make a difference, because you're not going to hurt a McDonald's. These types of attacks work when it's a mom-and-pop place. They can really wreck a place.
Yeah, but what's the disturbing part is that we have people who are saying, well, you know, it is a terrible thing that happened. However, how about all the people that died because of their decisions? And so it's this justification for this kind of vigilante stuff. I have serious concerns about the health insurance industry. I am disgusted by the behavior of people using to make money and denying claims and hurting people's health, I think is outrageous. I do not believe that we should treat people's lives as a part of a capitalist society. I get that we want to have companies that, you know, make money. It's the American dream. Never, though, at the expense of people's health or dying. And so I think that there is truly something that one thing that politicians should pay attention in this story too is the fact that there's that sentiment out there from people who have real anger towards health insurance companies, true anger. And look, there was a story, I think, in the New York Times recently the other day, and it was like, Americans love their health care, their health insurance, until they need to use it, was the sub, you know, part of the story.
That's very true for most people.
Yeah, so until you have to use it and you start getting denied claims and you have to fight, and look, you can fight, and a lot of times they'll just deny because a certain percentage of people don't fight. Right. They'll just give up because they can't take it. Others will fight and will be able to change something. Right. And then others will fight and fight and still get denied. So I'm all with the anger and something needs to be done. This is not the answer. And for those who say that it is, you do realize the slippery slope to what next will you say is okay? Can it be the person who did this and you don't like that they did it? It's really a dangerous lawlessness that we seem to have come through. This anti-hero stuff where we celebrate people who are bad.
Like, I think two things can be true. And I like to say this a lot. Two things can be true. Health insurance companies can be making bad decisions that cost people their lives. And this guy didn't deserve to be murdered. You know what I mean? Like, they're two different things. We can say, we can judge the healthcare industry all we want. If there's anything, if I try to find some positive, is that maybe a tragedy like this turns into possible conversations of how to make that industry better. But here's where the biggest flaw in all this is. And this is why people celebrating, I feel like you're not looking at this the right way. Insurance companies screwing over sick people and denying claims when they needed treatment has been going on long before Brian Thompson was the CEO of United Healthcare. And those bad decisions will continue now that he's gone. Nothing will change in the sense of how they make their decisions.
I don't agree with you so much there.
Nothing's going to change immediately. And he didn't start it. It's not like he was the...
No, but it's gotten worse. And it's gotten progressively worse. And insurance has gotten progressively more expensive.
It has.
And they have been at an increasing number denying claims. If you look at it, United Healthcare has the highest amount of denied claims. They're at 32%. And again, this is no justification for anybody being killed. I just hope that politicians look at this and say, we got a real issue. When you have citizens out there, I'm not saying it's the majority, but there's a pretty good amount of people who are like, well, you do know this is a real, and you're like, wait a minute, like, don't go over that line.
Yeah, I don't know that anything will change unless bigger things are going to have to happen. It's not, this isn't
I think
his death will not change anything
Every lawmaker should have to be on the regular marketplace. Yeah. No Cadillac insurance company. They never will understand what it's like for average people. In a test of adult know-how, America comes up short. The least educated workers are falling behind on basic skills such as reading a thermometer and planning a trip. I'm looking at a Wall Street Journal report. Oh, my gosh.
How did you end up in Alaska again? I wanted to go to the beach. You need help in both areas.
Yeah.
Because you don't know what temperature it is there. That's crazy.
According to a global test of adult know-how, which measures job readiness and problem solving among workers in industrialized countries, that's good to know, the results show that the least educated American workers between the ages of 16 and 65, less able to make inferences from a section of text, manipulate fractions, or apply spatial reasoning, even as the most educated are getting smarter. So employers, it says, might have a hard time finding workers capable of basic levels of critical thinking. Basic levels. There's a dwindling middle in the United States, in terms of skill, said a commissioner of a statistical agency at the Education Department. Over time, we have seen more adults clustered at the bottom. So the number of U.S. and again, this is in The Wall Street Journal, just released today. The number of U.S. test takers whose mathematical skills don't surpass those expected of a primary school student rose 34% of the population from 29% in 2017. Problem-solving scores also weaker than in 2017, the U.S. average score below the international average. So they're looking at not just students, we're talking about, you know, test takers of different ages.
And there are people who, you know, obviously don't do well on tests to begin with. I think it's interesting. A lot of this is true where you said that people can't critically think. Mm-hmm. I find that fascinating because I bet if you polled 1,000 people, the people who probably can't critically think are the ones telling everyone they need to learn how to critically think. Everyone thinks they're critically thinking confidently, and some are, some aren't.
They say the divide in know-how among Americans actually predates COVID. COVID didn't help, but it's likely connected to screen time. You know, in the United States, there's a lot of use of screen time and the declining reading habits of both children and adults. And they say the relatively strong performance among the top test takers, as they said, the smarter getting smarter, particularly in math, is the silver lining for our country. Nearly 2% of Americans scored the highest level of proficiency and able to understand complex, abstract, mathematical and statistical information. So when you look at it, you know, not doing well, again, in the middle part. And a lot of that has to do with, I think, calculators. A lot of times people rely on calculators anymore for simple, like they talk about fractions. I think, you know, a lot of times people had to just go to a calculator and they go, all right, if I'm, you know, having a recipe instead of 3/4 of a cup, what do I? I'm just saying, like when I do recipes, I do a lot of, I do it in my head. And
well,
I've always
you
done
are
it.
Like no, but I'm Goodwill Hunting over there
I'm
with your math
that
skills.
Because you had to.
Sure, right.
Whereas opposed, like in when I was younger, having a calculator in a class was a definite no-no. You couldn't have a calculator.
I'm
in
not
class.
Sure how much you've seen. And look, if all technology ceases to exist, that we like technology that we know of right now ceases to exist, we would be screwed because so few people would know this. But right now, like you can pretty much open your phone's camera and take a picture of a math problem, and there's a like artificial intelligence will solve it for you like
that.
And so there, you know, for me, I was never a great test taker. Some people use it as an excuse. I'll just own it. I was a very bad test taker. Couldn't keep my thoughts straight on a lot of stuff. However, I think I've done a pretty good job of learning how to thrive and survive in today's world. Mm-hmm. So like, I kind of know enough about things to get from point A to point B and do well for myself. This is so very fascinating to me because it seems like it's all test based, and that makes me sweat just even
thinking
about it.
Well, I mean, they also talked about fractions and things like that. In the latest test, though, U.S. is 14th in the country, in the world, I mean, in literacy, 15th in adaptive problem solving, and 24th in numeracy. The same 8 countries were tops in all 3 categories: Finland, Japan, Sweden, Norway, Netherlands, Estonia, Belgium, and Denmark. That is astounding. That is wild.
And if this is all true, at least 40% of this audience has no idea what we're talking about. It's too confusing. Joe Snedeker joins us. He's
good
back.
Morning.
Joe, what's up?
I wonder why Johnny Lucas went old school with the Beatles. Why did he do that?
I paused.
He put his headphones on. I think he wants to talk.
Because I saw that we're losing 5 minutes of daylight, and I figure that has night and day in there. And
okay.
Oh, my God. He's trying. Whoa.
He's working.
That's a stretch, but I like your effort. Yes.
Good
yes.
job, John.
Woo! So between now and Christmas, we only have 5 more minutes of daylight to lose before we start getting longer daylight. So we're here. We're in the tunnel, and I see light, baby, coming on up. And you're going to love the temperatures if you haven't been outside yet. If you're waking up, maybe your clock alarm just is set to WILK, and the alarm goes off, and now you hear our voices. You're going to love it outside. 40s to near 50 today. It's going to be awesome. What do you think?
I know. I loved it. I enjoyed it. It was so balmy, and I know it's coming to an end, but yeah. I'll take it when I can.
No, but the end isn't so bad. So today, there's going to be some fog. There's going to be some patchy showers, but no organized rain. So just kind of cloudy all day. Tonight, temperature's actually going up while you sleep into the 50s. So tomorrow is going to be an all-day rain. You're not going to be able to do anything outside. From morning through the afternoon, rain, 1 to 2 inches. So the end that Nancy mentions, by about 5, 6 o'clock Wednesday evening, there's going to be a little wet snow mixing in. It looks like an inch or two, and then it'll end. So on Thursday, yeah, it's going to get cold and windy, but I can handle highs near freezing, partly sunny, a flurry. Friday also near freezing, but nice and sunny. And then the weekend, we're back to the 40s. And maybe some rain showers on Sunday. So there's really no brutal air coming our way. Is that what bothers you, the Thursday, Friday?
No, just it's not 50, you know?
Yeah,
that's
make
all.
It happen. Make it happen,
I don't
man.
Make it too deep. It's just not 50.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, at least it's not 10, so yeah. I'll take that.
I think a lot of folks, today is your day to decorate. If you've been putting it off, if you're still saying, I need... Or maybe do the opposite. The stuff that you put up prematurely around Thanksgiving 2 weeks ago, today's going to be a nice, mild day. You can take all the Christmas stuff down.
Yeah.
So then you don't have to take it down in January. It's already over. What do you think?
So
you got your use. Now you're moving on.
So you were so enthusiastic about Christmas, you went 3 weeks early, but now you're going to get out 2 weeks, 2 weeks too soon. Seems unlikely, but...
Well, there's got to be others like the way my brain works. I'm already sick of the Christmas tree in the house. There's clutter everywhere. I want it over. I want to run the vacuum where the tree was. I want knickknacks down. I want to dust where my wife has all these like ceramic things. I just want it all over.
How
Is
often
that normal?
How often does your wife say, "Joe, why are you so much fun?" How often does she ask you?
No, that's why. Bully.
Says
not
the liking, weather bully.
Not liking something does not make you not fun.
Okay, that's
how
fine.
Dare you say that?
You actually go a lot of places and do a lot of things
that's
together.
That's true. Okay, fine. Don't.
That's like if I say, for example, here's today I'm going to go, after I give my final at Marywood, I hope to go on my mountain bike in the mud and grime in 50 degrees and go mountain biking for 2 hours. And I'm going to get filthy and dirty, and it's going to be great. Now, if someone doesn't want to do that, I'm not going to call them no fun. I'm not into Christmas and decorating. It doesn't do anything for me. That doesn't make me not fun.
So when you're sitting down and the lights are on and you don't get that cozy feeling at all?
I don't think so.
So you don't sit there and go, this is nice. Like, let's have hot cocoa.
I don't think so.
No. Okay.
If it was up to you.
Well, I never sit down like that, so yeah, okay.
I don't sit down. So in other words, when you're standing there, do you ever go, you don't sit?
I just don't. I need organization in my life, and clutter bothers me.
Do you watch a football game?
He doesn't. We know this, right?
Never, no. I'd rather paint the kitchen than watch a football game.
Do you binge watch a show with your wife?
No, I wouldn't even imagine doing something like that.
What do you do at night? Like, what do you do before you go to bed?
Folks, if you're alive for 70, 80 years on this planet, it's a gift of the universe. There's no time to waste sitting around. I got things to do. I don't know.
Okay.
I'll watch a movie
now
once in a while.
Now you're bullying us.
No, Nancy. How dare you?
I said
we're time wasters. No, you said you were kind of shaming us.
To me, life is like a vacation. If you go to Italy or Hawaii for a week-long vacation, are you going to binge-watch Netflix? Are you going to watch a football game?
I think
life is like a vacation. I got things to do.
Wait a minute. It's not like a vacation if you're sitting there putting new paneling on the, you know, floor or something, or the walls. Like, to you, that's a vacation. I'm going to go.
That's being productive.
That's different.
Done.
Productive is not always fun.
I just always want to do. I don't know. It's
okay.
A problem.
You
can't
sit
still.
Kill me, but I
no,
can't.
I get
so
it. Different
we go
people.
Back to the original discussion. The clutter is getting to me already. I want it out of there.
All right. Well, you're still a fun guy. We'll talk to you next hour.
Says one
Bye.
Of us.
Oh my gosh.
I'll see you, Joe.
Never again. I don't like to sit and watch TV for hours.
Sure, I get it.
But sometimes it's fun to watch a show with someone and experience it with them. That can be joyful.
Depends on the person.
All right. It's that time of the year where you hear lots of Christmas music. We'll get to the number one song in a moment. But other Christmas songs that have now hit the top Billboard Top 100. Brenda Lee's Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree.
I was going to say, is anything new on this list?
It's now at number 2. Wham's Last Christmas, number 3. Bobby Helms' Jingle Bell Rock at number 5. Burl Ives' Holly Jolly Christmas, number 10. So these are all big, big songs. But again, and this has been like this for a number of years, here's the number one song.
What's a new one? I've never heard this. What is it?
Ba, 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 ba. 1, 2, 3, 4.
A lot for Christmas. It's a catchy song.
I wish. It's amazing. Like, there's no. It seems like we can crank out one of the. We cranked out about 100 of these songs over a 20-year period.
Right.
And then one more. So it feels like.
It was in a movie, you know. The one where the kid is in love with the girl and he's playing the drums. Oh, God, I can't remember the name of that movie.
Oh.
I think it's the one, isn't it? Like,
Little
with the
drummer.
Whole bunch of different. No, it's like a whole bunch of different stories, love stories. Oh, my gosh.
Yes. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't
someone
think I've seen it. Someone text in. I usually can help you here, and I
know, because you're the big, like, songs in movies guy.
Yeah, but I guess I haven't seen this one. I was going to say and I can't seem to find it.
Your favorite?
We can probably kill this song, right?
Christmas song. He loves it too much.
I was going to say, you can't kill that song. It's impossible. That was the whole point
of this
whole story.
What's your favorite Christmas song? Now, if I'm just going with traditional, I like O Holy Night, and I like O Come All Ye Faithful, right? Those two are great. But when you think of newer songs, what do you guys like? The 2024 Person of the Year from Time Magazine. Who will they name? We can tell you who's on the short list, and it's not short people.
Okay.
And you guys can tell us who you would pick from this short list. So basically, this has been going on since 1927, a person, group, or concept with the biggest impact. It can be for good or not so good. In 2023, Taylor Swift was the person of the year. In previous selections, they included, Volodymyr Zelensky of Ukraine.
Who's putting this on again? Did
Time Magazine.
Time, okay.
Yes,
that kind of helps focus.
So, here are those revealed this morning. And we're doing this in alphabetical order, not by picking the best, okay?
Don't you dare start posting bad Yelp.
So, one of the 10 candidates, Kamala Harris.
Oh, okay.
They talk about the fact that, you know, she was brought in on the night of July the 21st and had to basically take an entire campaign, 107 days.
Like a relief pitcher who gives up a home run.
Yes, she did lose,
but
conceding the race. Excuse me, I'm coughing. That was not
like that's good comic timing.
I know
what you're trying to point. You're trying to make.
But the point is,
on the list.
She is on the list. Another female on the list, Kate Middleton, Princess of Wales, making headlines this year and stirring the conversation about privacy and health.
Oh, that's right. She's had
abdominal surgery.
Right?
We hear cancer. We don't know details, but she is on the list. Elon Musk.
Yeah.
Who has long been known as a innovative disruptor. Now, he has won this not too long ago. Because I thought when I first saw this list, I thought, well, he would be probably someone I would put at the top of a possibility. But if he just won it, he was previously named Person of the Year in 2021.
What's interesting, you say he's long been known as a disruptor. I've always looked at him as it's like socially awkward dreamer. Like, this year, he really became that disruptor. He kind of like leaned into that, which is, I think, what made him such a
so it's not that you can't
big impact.
Be a Person of the Year twice, but another, Yulia Navalnaya. And she has been in the spotlight after her husband, country's leading dissident, Alexei Navalny, died in February. So she's on the list. Benjamin Netanyahu on the list as well. Jerome Powell, chairman of the U.S. Federal Reserve, serving both under the Trump and Biden administration. So they talk about him being chairman, steering the ship on the economy, which was the number one issue voters talked about in exit polling. Joe Rogan, podcaster, the Joe Rogan Experience, is on the list. Also on the list, Claudia Sheinbaum, making history, sworn in as Mexico's first ever female president. Donald Trump is on the list as well. Political comeback, winning the 2024 election. So I think he's a likely one to win. And Mark Zuckerberg.
Nah.
Under the microscope. Okay.
I mean, he's going to put him on the list, sure.
Yeah. He and other tech CEOs faced questioning during a Senate Judiciary Committee hearing on the impact of social media. So those are shortlist folks. Times Person of the Year.
If they're going to,
I don't know if things are going to change with also what's happened in Syria and other issues around the globe. But
who would sell the most magazines? Probably Donald Trump. I can't imagine.
I'm not going by who sells the most magazines.
I'm just saying, if you're a magazine, though, that's probably what you're going to do.
But I do think that he would be one of the top people just because of the fact of the comeback that he has had.
Love him or hate him, it happened, and it doesn't make sense to some people. Right. Makes perfect sense to others. It is really a fascinating story to watch.
Sure. With repercussions to come, we shall see.
If he wouldn't just poo-poo the whole idea probably on his podcast, I would say Joe Rogan had the most impact.
I don't think so, though.
Just because he came out of, like, this was the year where people were like, everyone found out where Joe Rogan's been or who he was.
I don't know. I still think that there are people that, I think that was for people who pay a lot of attention. I think half of the country still would go, what?
I think he became part of the headlines, though, which is really fascinating.
I'm not denying his influence and such. I'm just saying when I look at Person of the Year and the impacts and all, I would put a Donald Trump, even a Kamala Harris over a Joe Rogan, just because someone having to come in also and run an entire presidential campaign with 107 days to go is also a huge task.
And as I'm saying, I think Trump would get it. It's going to be.
I don't know if it matters so much.
The winner.
I think that you're looking at having impact and you know what they had to face. But I still think he will win it. We'll see. What do you guys think? And is there somebody not on the list? Because, look, they're going to be deciding this. But is there anybody else that you would think who maybe didn't make the short list?
Ryan Seacrest.
Oh,
took
shut
over
up.
For Pat Sajak.
Oh, come on.
Proving that even when you kind of step slightly away from the spotlight, you can jump right back into your 19th job. Way to go, Ryan. You're an inspiration to us all.
Is there someone else you think would be the Person of the Year? And again, this is it's global. It's not just here in the United States. So is there somebody else you can think of that would, you know, stand out as being the Person of the Year outside of the ones we just talked about? You could certainly say that you support any one of the ones that we had just mentioned. But if there's someone else outside the box, by the way, before the break, the movie was Love Actually, with the kid who's the drummer who's like got the crush on the girl.
I feel like I've seen that before, but it's been a long time.
It's good stuff.
And obviously didn't leave a mark because I remember all those movie songs. Mm-hmm. I usually do.
We were also talking about your favorite Christmas songs. And of course, we have traditional that people make. Like there's certain songs that I love, especially religious ones. I mentioned O Come All Ye Faithful, O Holy Night. Those are my favorites. But, you know, someone said the older gospel songs, heartwarming, bring a tear to your eye. Another said for this time of year, their favorites are Daryl Hall and John Oates doing Jingle Bell Rock. Did I hear that one? I'm trying to. Chicago has a version of Let It Snow. and Christmas time is here. And Josh Groban's Oh Holy Night. That's a great one, too.
Yeah. In fact, if that comes on and I'm in the car, my wife will look at me and just go, shh. And then I have to stay quiet. That's what it was in her marriage vows. She's so in love with that song.
Which one?
The Oh Holy Night with Josh Groban.
That's
pretty
a
much,
good one.
Yeah. I didn't grow
Celine
up with a lot
Dion
of these.
Does a beautiful one, too, but she can sing a phone book and be beautiful.
I challenge her to do so. I didn't grow up with like this deep connection to these songs. So for me, it's all about finding these like quirky, fun songs that are just different. Mm-hmm. So I have this like weird list. Dominic the Donkey's always been up there because like to say I've sung it on the radio for like 25. I know. Usually when you take off, I'll do it. I'll bring a bunch of people in here. We'll do a sing-along.
It's all right. I think it would be fun to do it. I just don't see it as being a fun song.
That's I'm trying to be kind and wait till you take a day off.
Because you don't want me to be a buzzkill.
Well.
Kind of.
Okay, fine. I'll accept your answer. No, there's that. There's Christmas in Hollis, Run DMC. So different, and it's such a cool beat. I like stuff like that.
Okay.
And there's another one about it. I forget who it is. They go, if you haven't, I think it's Dropkick from Murphys. They go, oh, you know, you haven't met my family, or you think your family's crazy. You've never met mine. Mm-hmm. It's all about drinking, and it's like a real like blue collar, regular family getting drunk and having a good time. Probably not a real traditional Christmas by any standard, but
looking at the Billboard list. Now, we were talking about what's, you know, top playing right now, which is Mariah Carey, and it always is. But Billboard does list it as of all time, All I Want for Christmas Is You being number one. Number two, they have Darlene Love, Christmas Baby Please Come Home. From 1963. That's what I'm going to have Christmas. To give a listen. So why am I forgetting that one?
You know that. Christmas, baby, please come home.
I don't know if I know that
Christmas.
One.
You definitely did. Johnny, pull that up.
You're going to have to find Darlene Love, Christmas, Please Come Home. I'm trying to remember that. Nat King Cole's The Christmas Song is number three. I love that one.
Guaranteed within seconds of hearing it. Unless it has a funky, weird intro. Once it kicks in, you're going to go, Oh, of course I know that. Die.
Wham, Last Christmas is number four. Number five, Bing Crosby's White Christmas. That's a great one. Number six, Brenda Lee, Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree. Number seven, Jose Feliciano, Feliz Navidad. Run DMC's Christmas in Hollis is number eight.
There you go.
Just for you, Jason.
This is different. You know, you don't
number
hear
nine is Santa Claus Coming to Town with Bruce Springsteen.
Sure.
And number 10, Donny Hathaway's This Christmas. Oh, I know this song.
I told you within seconds, right? The title just reads. Just turn it down. Don't stop it, Johnny. Here's mine. Christmas. It's very close, right?
How did I not know that was Darlene Love?
Yes, and the one I was talking about was Dropkick Murphys' The Season's Upon Us.
Yeah.
So I was right about that. You should check that out. It's definitely just non-traditional.
I might have to play a whole bunch of non-traditional Christmas songs as we get closer to Christmas. We know that there has been a suspect arrested and now charged in the murder of Brian Thompson, who was the CEO of United Healthcare. People magazine has some new information coming out about this suspect. First of all, we have people confirming that 26-year-old, let me get his name, Luigi Mangione. First of all, he has been charged with murder. And friends are now revealing that Mangione had been dealing with severe back pain through the years. But they say he went what they call radio silent over the summer.
Yeah, something happened.
26-year-old charged with one count of murder and, you know, two counts of second-degree criminal possession of a weapon and other charges. Accused of killing Thompson just before 7 a.m. Wednesday, December 4th. Friends are speaking out about living with the accused man at Surf Break. This is a co-living space near Honolulu's Ala Moana Beach Park. And he stayed there from January through June of 2022. Now, the founder of the co-living space recalled that Mangione suffered from chronic back pain from an apparent pinched nerve. And he had that for years. Now, again, this is according to the outlet. Martin said, I loved this guy. In some ways, I feel like my members are my kids. And Josiah Ryan, who is a spokesperson for this guy who runs this co-living space, told the AP that Mangione had undergone a background check before moving into that space. Right. Luigi was just widely considered to be a great guy. There were no complaints, no sign that might point to these alleged crimes that they're saying he committed. They do say that his back pain did get in the way of his day-to-day life at times. He went surfing. It didn't work out because of his back. The reason why we mention this is in one of his social media profiles, there's a picture of an x-ray of a back. It looks like, or to the neck area with pins or something in it. And people were like, what's this about? What's going on? This is not to paint a lovely picture of a person who's accused of murder. It's to kind of get us to understand
what his motive was, maybe.
What the motive is, but also, don't make assumptions that because someone is, he's Ivy League educated, right, comes from a family with a lot of money, went to a private school, I read he was the valedictorian, seemed to be a friendly guy, as someone texted us earlier, as someone who deals with mental health issues, you can be very smart, just like, you know, anybody else. People have mental health problems of all different incomes,
right,
and I guess education levels.
It's going to be really interesting to watch this because, and I'm not even talking about for the people who are like, let him go, he's a hero. I don't think he's a hero. He did something heinous and he's going to probably spend the rest of his life in jail. Seems like that's where this is going. But we've all heard stories of people who kind of had everything going for them. Something happens. They have some sort of accident. They're dealing with chronic pain. Next thing you know, they're addicted to painkillers and things go downhill and you make bad decisions. I'm not saying that's what started this.
Yeah, we don't know what happened.
I'm saying
here,
in general,
right?
Like, can you imagine being in a situation where this kid literally seems like he had everything going for him? We don't know what happened after that to get him to this point. But, it makes you wonder. What would make someone apparently had everything, including a lot of money from his family, what would make them throw it all away by doing something so violent and horrible?
Right.
Well, doesn't make sense.
And the point is also, how did anybody, he's so well known to people. How did nobody know? It took a stranger at McDonald's to report him. And you got to wonder, did family and friends go, oh, that looks a lot like him, but just say, there's no way. I mean, can you imagine if somebody looked in your family that you would never expect? We're hearing this from people that have been involved in his life throughout that they would never have expected this.
Yeah.
Never. You know, you hear about sometimes the loner.
I was going to say, he's the opposite. He's the exact opposite. Within his social media pages got scrubbed within a couple, like an hour of his arrest. Mm-hmm. But the stuff they were able to pull off, speeches at graduation, talking about being proud of all the men on the stage and how they're going to accomplish great things. And it's like, how does that happen? It doesn't make sense. It doesn't fit any of the molds that the stereotypes we've been talking.
I think first I thought this was some professional. He just seemed to have no hesitancy, like knew what he was doing, whatever that may be. However, I was going to get to the line of, you know, you think of like a Ted Kaczynski or somebody who is, although he never approached victims, he was the type who just sent things through, you know, other ways.
Drifted into madness, too.
But I was thinking more along the lines of someone who is kind of a loner, maybe like a lonely guy on his own and maybe didn't have money. If he did have problems with health, it would not someone who has all the opportunities that other people wouldn't have to deal with something like that. Again, we don't know everything. He has a 2-page note, which they're calling kind of a manifesto.
Yeah, he lashes out. It's clear he's lashing out specifically at healthcare and the corporations that run this and deny stuff. Because I've seen people make this crack. Oh, he seems to hate corporations all so much, but he'll go to Starbucks and McDonald's. Like, okay, again, he probably doesn't have a personal issue. This was very personal. Yeah, you could tell. And it seems like we're going to find out so much information about this. Will anything change out of it? I don't know. Hmm. But conversations are happening for the first time. And it's a sad, good thing that could come of this, I guess. I can't use the word good there.
When you're saying positive conversations about the health insurance industry.
People are talking about just how bad things can be for people. Even though those conversations have happened, it seems like the country's kind of primed now for a bigger conversation.
Nothing will happen.
You're probably right.
It will just be an awful thing that happened. He'll end up going through the system and we'll still have health insurance companies making decisions that affect people's lives and quality of life.
The local business Community Update. The local business community update.
For the last time in 2024, let's welcome back Bob Durkin, President, CEO of the Greater Scranton Chamber of Commerce.
Yeah, as always, great to be here. I cannot believe we've been doing this through the course of this entire year.
So 2024 soon will be in the books. We're looking, obviously, at 2025 for Northeast PA. You do an annual membership directory. Comes out in February, and it's a great networking tool. You can think of it as a phone book for local businesses, but it's online as well. And you have a theme. What's this year's theme?
Dream big.
Ooh.
And, dream big.
Yeah. And we touch a few different notes with this one. Of course, we speak about the chamber itself and our multiple affiliates. And then likewise, thinking beyond that, you know, looking at the history of the region, there's an awful lot of big dreams that have been fulfilled over the years. And some folks don't really realize that.
Yeah, because they grew up, if you're younger and you've grown up with all of these places like Montage Mountain and the Rail Riders, which were the Red Barons. So we had thinking big that led us to where we are. There's other things as well. What do you look at as you look through Northeast PA that are concrete examples of how we were thinking big?
Yeah. Results from dreaming big.
Let's go back a little further and say Montage Mountain. Montage Mountain itself, 40 plus years ago, nothing but a watershed. And it was the idea of creating a ski resort, the genesis of which was from the Greater Scranton Chamber of Commerce. It was a spinoff group of leaders from the chamber who created Montage Inc. And with that, built the early iteration of Montage as a ski resort. And the big dream then wasn't to build a ski resort. In fact, that was just a means to an end, right? Mm-hmm. So you see all of the development up there, the residential development, Glenmara, the shops at Montage, all of that stemmed from the big dream of saying, all right, let's do something with this mountain.
And it went to Red Barons, became Rail Riders. And then with Montage, we also then ended up with an amphitheater and a concert venue and just really great stuff.
All those pieces came together because of that first big dream to do something up at that mountain.
Right.
But, you know, again, you know, being the chamber guy, I also look back to economic development activities across northeastern Pennsylvania through the Scranton-Lackawanna Industrial Building Company, SLIBCO, our building arm of the chamber. We have built 15 different business and industrial parks across Lackawanna County. That all happened post-World War II, so we're going back even a lot further than the Montage situation. But it wasn't just Lackawanna County. In Luzerne County, you have CanDo with Humboldt Industrial Park, which has been a tremendous success, Hanover Industrial Park, Center Point, Grimes Industrial Park in Pittston over the history. So the chambers across the region have been a part of the big dream. I mean, these were big investments at the time and to some degree, risky investments for the chambers and their industrial development arms. But just look at all the jobs, look at all the businesses, look at the private investment. Think about the whole idea of Lake Wallenpaupack.
Right.
I mean, Lake Wallenpaupack didn't exist. It's a man-made lake. And somewhere along the line, PPNL back then, when they were generating energy, decided to create a dam. And they bought all this incredible amount of land, dammed it up, and flooded it. And that's what Lake Wallenpaupack is. And think about what's happened up there in that part of northeastern Pennsylvania, not just from a recreational standpoint, but economic development standpoint.
I mean, it's field of dreams. If you build it, they will come.
That's right. You talk about dream big, but how do you deal with people who might have ideas? Do you actually have meetings, or is the public invited to, or business leaders invited to come up with ideas? I mean, I guess you have your own conversations. How do you get people to talk about dreaming big and then, you know, giving you ideas on what they think would work?
I would contend that the structure of our chambers of commerce are a starting point. It almost always, it seems to me, starts with what is the need? And the best way for these issues to play themselves out in a positive way is when there is a legitimate need that the community recognizes. The chamber team that we have, our job is to bring together community leaders, the chamber board members. Part of their responsibility is to be the visionaries to help us bring to the table some of the big picture and big ideas. And then it's the staff's job to take those ideas and work them through.
One step at a time, not 100 or 1,000 steps all at once.
Right. I always get a kick out of an old mentor of mine used to say, you eat an elephant one bite at a time. So the elephant might be the big dream, but to get there, it takes a lot of little steps.
The annual membership directory for the Greater Scranton Chamber of Commerce doesn't come out till February, but again, the theme, dream big. I love this. Can I be on the cover?
We'll have to work on that, Jason.
Bob Durkin, thank you for being on with us again. We do this the second Tuesday of every month, and the podcast lives forever.
Well, let me say, as we're wrapping up the year on this, that, how much I appreciate you and Nancy and WILK.
Bob Durkin, CEO, President, Greater Scranton Chamber of Commerce. This has been the Local Business Community Update again. We'll talk again in 2025. That doesn't even sound real. Storm Tracker 16 meteorologist Joe Snedeker.
Good morning.
Greetings and salutations. Nance, is there any snow visible up way where you live in Susquehanna County? Anywhere in sight?
I think there were just like a tiny little patch here and there, like near where my husband had plowed it off of the driveway into a pile. Yeah, just a tiny bit.
That is the correct answer. Yeah, I'm up at 1,600 feet above sea level, and my daughter's snowman that she made with her boyfriend is still in the yard. And where it's piled up, it still exists. But, man, that's going to be gone today. It's going to be mild all day today, tonight, and tomorrow. So, I don't know. Did the ski lodges not get a long-range weather forecast? They were pumping out all that snow.
Right.
But I'm going to guess that a lot of what they made is going to be lost, you know, today, tonight, and tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well, you'll have to do it again. Keep people keep employed,
pumping,
right?
Keep pumping.
They should have called me. I would have told them this was going to happen.
Well,
you did say it
last week. You told us it would warm up.
That's what I mean. And then when they were making the snow, I'm like, I wonder why they're doing this. Why bother? It'll be gone, folks. Today, if you're just getting up and outside, it's going to be in the 40s to near 50. But for some reason, maybe more mental, it feels warmer, doesn't it? Or is it just me?
You are warmer. No, I know what you're saying. It's been so cold. It feels like it's in the 50s or something. It feels a little warmer.
Yeah, it does. It does. Yeah, but it's still only near 40, 43, 4, 5 now. But yeah, getting up to near 50 today, cloudy, a few patchy, drizzly shots, some fog, and maybe a passing shower. But if you have anything you have to do outside today, much of the day will be dry. Tonight, there's going to be more steady rain forming, but temperatures actually going up tonight while you're sleeping. And I don't know about you guys, but I love in the summer months when the windows open and you hear this. The road is wet and a car goes by. It's
I'm asleep. I know exactly what you're talking about. I love that sound. That's a nice sound. I don't want to stand next to it, but it sounds nice. Yeah,
the soothing sound of cars on wet roads. That'll be the sights and sounds you can get tonight. Leave the window open. Lows near 55 tonight. That's like June low temperatures. Tomorrow, all day rain. Morning, afternoon, evening, some heavy at times. 1 to 2 inches of rain. We can handle it. We can use it. And it could hit 60 in parts of the area tomorrow. That rain will quickly end as some wet snow between about 5 and 9 p.m. tomorrow. But I think the roads will be wet and just a slushy inch or two at the end of the rain tomorrow. Then Thursday, cold and windy, 32 degrees, a few flurries, but much of the day should be dry. Friday, even though it's only going to be in the low 30s, the sun will be out. It'll feel good. And if you have any plans for this weekend, we're talking temperatures in the 40s and no big precipitation events, just maybe some rain showers on Sunday. Could be a few wet flakes, but it doesn't look like much. It's going to stay warm much of next week with some ups and downs. And now we're already talking about days before Christmas. 2 weeks today, it is Christmas Eve. So I think it's going to be a milder Christmas, and we'll see what happens as 2 weeks is a little too far out for specifics with current meteorological standards.
That's true. All right. Well, your wife just had a birthday, right?
The lovely Dawn, 58, and she had a birthday on December the 5th.
Yes. The reason I ask is, now my daughter's birthday is this coming Friday, the 13th, and it's a big one because she's 21. It's a big one. So buying Christmas gifts when they have a birthday close by, it's always like fun, isn't it? Like, so at least hers is a little bit earlier. But are you ready for her Christmas gift? Because we had talked about a birthday gift.
Well, don't you sit down with your husband and say, let's not do this, or no, do you still do it?
Usually I still do something, but, you know, getting something big? No, not really. But
yeah,
something.
Yeah. We don't do that. We say, let's take care of the kids, let's have a good time, but we don't have to do that. That's
right,
the beauty of being married 31 years. You get over it.
So you do the birthday gift, you just don't do the Christmas gift.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Why can't we get over the birthday stuff? Yeah, you're right.
Because that's their special day, I guess.
Yeah, that is odd that we embrace the birthday thing, but the Christmas, no, we're done with that. Oh. Interesting.
All right. Well, I was just curious because, you know, you put a lot of thought into that birthday one, but Christmas, eh, Scrooge.
Something about marriage. Yeah. It makes you not want to be selfish at times.
What about you, Jason? You still go through the motions with Christmas being a married man?
No. Not, I mean, if I would have.
No?
I would have, but my wife is just like, you know, here's what Santa's getting me, and I'm already using it. I was like, what? Like, we need this and this. No, every once in a while, I'll try to surprise her. I'll take the kids out maybe and say, let's pick something up for mommy, and then my daughter. But the thing is, my daughter's at an age where she just says, oh, opportunity for me to buy stuff. And I'm like, no, 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 no. So, yeah, I'll get her. Yeah.
But your wife still buys stuff for you guys to give the kids, right? The kids still get
talking
gifts.
To me?
Yes, the kids still get gifts.
Yeah, so I think that's the out. Now that he said that, I think that's the out because we both have some neutral ground to agree on. You're like, ah, let's not worry about us. Let's get the kids stuff. So you can't do that around birthdays. I can't say to my wife, I'm not going to get you a birthday gift. I'm going to save it for the kids' birthday.
Yeah.
No gifts. Won't even say happy. You know what the next word is.
Oh. All right, we shall talk tomorrow. Well,
try it, though.
All right. See you guys.
Bye. I still do something. I would want to not give anything. It just doesn't have to be a pricey item. Just something that, like, hey, open this.
You know what would change his opinion on all that is if he was like, if he decided he was going to go forward with that plan to cut somebody out, the second he found out that they may be upset by it, that would change everything. Because he's not, you know, none of us are monsters. Sometimes
they obviously don't care. He and his wife are, like, cool with it.
Yeah, but if his wife was like, I really miss your gifts, and he was just like,
yeah, he would definitely
sucks,
do it,
but
I think.
Yeah, he's not a monster, is he?
I just think they've agreed, and I think a lot of people do that. They go, hey, we get what we need all year long. We don't need to get anything, you know, outside of the ordinary, but I just like to give something, at least something to open.
So and they know you knew.
Well, I
if
just
not,
feel like, I feel like it's fun. I like to watch people open the presents, too. So, coming up, we'll play our celebrity game. But first, some of the things that happened on this day. It is December the 10th. Poet Emily Dickinson was born on this date, 1830. I didn't realize she died when she was only 56 years old.
But, wow, that's...
Yeah. Meanwhile, on this date in 1869, women granted the right to vote in the Wyoming Territory. First legislation of its kind in American history. How about that? 1901, the King of Sweden distributed the first Nobel Prizes in accordance with the will of the late inventor Alfred Nobel. So there we go. That's why it's Nobel Prize Day. I don't know if you knew that, but today is. On this date in 1936, King Edward VIII signs the Instrument of Abdication. This was a big deal back then, giving up the British throne so he could marry the American divorcee, Wallace Simpson. On this date, 1966, Good Vibrations by the Beach Boys hits number one on the pop chart. I didn't even know about this. In 1971, Frank Zappa fractures his skull, breaks one of his legs in several places after being pushed off the stage and into the orchestra pit in London by the jealous boyfriend of a female Zappa fan. I didn't even know that. That's crazy.
That is nuts.
And on this date in 1994, Yasser Arafat, Shimon Peres, and Yitzhak Rabin received the Nobel Peace Prize, pledging to pursue their mission of peace in the Middle East. And here we are how many years later, right?
Nailed that one. Huh?
Shame. All right, let's play a little game.
It's the celebrity birthday game.
We don't have a lot of people on this list.
And do pets.
Give it a try.
No? Okay.
Kenneth Branagh. Is that how you say it? Branagh? Oh, anyway, he's a writer, director, actor, Dead Again, Wild Wild West, Harry Potter, and the Chamber of Secrets.
Yeah, I'm going to say yes. He's 68.
64.
Oof.
Susan Day. She was in the Partridge Family and then later on in L.A. Law. How old is she?
75.
72.
Come on. This game's fixed.
Help me with this name. Raven Simone? Is that how you say it?
From Cosby Show.
Yeah, the Cosby Show.
When Rudy got a little to that awkward stage, you're like, we need a cute kid. Raven Simone. was the replacement Rudy. Raven Simone is, she's probably 35 now.
39.
Whoa. Crazy. Oh my God, that's crazy.
Celebrity chef Bobby Flay has a birthday today.
Flay today, birthday, yay. He's 58.
60. So close enough.
Oh, I got that one. Finally,
good for you. And finally, get a football player. Joe Burrow, quarterback, on the list today.
The Bengals. Joe.
The Bengals. Burrow. Did they not win against Dallas yesterday?
Yes, they did. Yeah, they did. They did win. They did win last night at a football game. They won.
Yeah, they did.
I got my tense wrong there. Joe Burrow is 31.
He's 28.
Son of
28. If it's your birthday today, happy birthday. If it's your anniversary, happy anniversary. I want to mention, just again, speaking of sports, Penn State is in the college football playoff bracket up against SMU in the first round. And this is going to be in a little less than 2 weeks. The number 6-seeded Nittany Lions and number 11-seeded Mustangs kick off at noon on Saturday, December 21st. It's one of the biggest games in history of Beaver Stadium. If you're lucky, if you get to go there, right? Penn State calls for a whiteout for this game. It will be on TNT. Now, ESPN, though, did strike a 5-year agreement with TNT to sublicense select college football games. So the playoff games.
Yeah.
So they'll be airing on TNT the Penn State game and also the Texas-Clemson game. Even though it airs on TNT, ESPN is overseeing production of every CFP game. So it will be an ESPN crew broadcasting from Happy Valley. Of course, you want to listen to the game. And listen to it on the Penn State football, broadcast, which we have here.
Where?
Here on WILK.
Like
we will
room?
Have that for you.
Oh, you mean on the radio?
10:30 in the morning on the December 21st is the pregame, and then you can hear the full game right here on WILK. Your Penn State station, again, the kickoff is at noon.